40 years after the foundation of the Aboriginal Tent Embassy, looking back, what do you think have been its main achievements?
In 1972, Billy McMahon, the then Prime Minister of Australia, Conservative Prime Minister, announced that they were prepared to lease land to Aborigines. Well, that didn't go down too well, considering that no treaty or the people had never ceded their sovereignty over this land or themselves and given dominion away over their lands and places. So we said, no, this is not on. And a couple of us went to Canberra and put up the embassy. And, of course, during that period, Whitlam was Prime Minister, was the opposition leader at the time, and he came to the embassy with a number of his parliamentary colleagues, and they spoke to us about, okay, what directions Aboriginal affairs should go in, and we talked about the right of self-determination and working on sovereignty programs that comes from self-determination. And, of course, Whitlam was true to his word and created a number of organisations that ultimately became self-determining factors. And of course, a lot of Aboriginal organisations got up, like the Aboriginal Legal Services, the Medical Services. A lot of preschool programs got going. Housing projects got underway under the Whitlam regime, and these things were negotiated at the Aboriginal Embassy, which is what very few people understand about it.
And what are the main things that the Aboriginal Tent Embassy is advocating for now?
Well, the main advocacy that we're focusing on, of course, is still land rights. Gary Foley coined the phrase that, you know, native title is certainly not land rights, and most people now have adopted that slogan. Aboriginal people feel that they are still being deceived in terms of land. But we also argue quite clearly now that the sovereignty aspect, and we've been to England in the last 40 years and most recently, and found documents, an order in council from Queen Victoria during her reign in 1875, where she said by order in council that ultimately was written into an act of the British Parliament that she did not claim, as the monarch of England, sovereignty or dominion over the Aboriginal people and their places in Australia. Now, we've looked at all the laws, and that's never been superseded by another order in council. Those acts have been taken off the public record, but in terms of them being taken off the public record, they certainly, the law that was established is still very much in vogue today and still a dominant force in the legal system and political system.
At the moment when the land rights are negotiated, when a native title determination is made, are you suggesting that there should be some rules or like some blanket regulation where in native title determinations, Indigenous Australians also get access to the resources?
Absolutely. You'll find that there will be, within coming months, a number of major legal challenges in this regard. And we're not going to sit idly by and have people falsely pretend that they have rights that they don't have, and we have no rights. And there's enough resources. Like, look at all the money they're getting out of Aboriginal lands now. And, they've just taken that money off the Aboriginal people, and they're cheating them. You know, they're deceiving these people of great wealth, and the government are sitting idly by. If Aboriginal people got their share of that wealth, then there's no need for government handouts. There's no need for government money. No need at all. No taxpayer money needs to go into Aboriginal lands, and Aboriginal people can be self-determining and develop their communities their way.